to look at 2 Peter chapter 1. We are God's people. We are the sheep of his pasture. A pastor, the word pastor defines to feed. That's my job, is to feed the flock. People have pets. They love their pets, dogs and cats and stuff like that, and they know their owner. They come to you, and when you put your hand out, and they lick your hand, or they're looking for food or something of that nature. I don't even have a goldfish to feed. I have a church to feed. This is my job, my responsibility. Us men that have a calling of God, we are to share the Word of God. And I've always said that and been told that this church, people can learn the Bible. If you want to learn the Word of God, this is a great church to do that. We're so blessed to have talented, knowledgeable teachers in every adult class and with the children. And from the time they're a child, they begin to learn the Word of God in this place. But I want to say to you that the primary place of learning should be in the home. It is there that we spend the most time with one another. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all saints. The hope that is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto you your love in the Spirit, or declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet worthy to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1 with me, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity, love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the church is made up of individuals and families. We are to have a testimony as a person of Christ, a Christian. As a family and a home, we want a testimony of our home to people to know that we are believers in Christ and we live the Christian life. The church needs to have a testimony of being real of being sound in the faith, grounded in the things of God, and serving the Lord, ministering to others. We are to be people of integrity, meaning that we are sound and whole, unimpaired. We are genuine of heart. Evidence of ethical soundness and moral excellence should abound within a church like this. The absence of hypocritical acting as a part. Too many churches have actors who play a part on Sunday, like they may play golf on Monday and try to be like a professional golfer. They all got their guys they watch on TV, you know, and they got clubs and balls like he does, and they try to act like him, you know, learn to putt and all that kind of stuff. They're a golfer on Monday. During the week, they're a businessman. On Sunday, they're a Christian. But that's not how Christianity works. Like Jacob said, he got saved at 10 years old. And when you got saved, you became a believer in Jesus Christ, and you are forever a child of God. And our job is to grow in the faith for the rest of our life. Now, that means we're going to face some trials and tests. We are to be people of character. We're here in church just a few hours a week. If you come to 10 o'clock Sunday school, 11 o'clock preaching, 6 o'clock Sunday night, an hour on Wednesday night, that's just a matter of about 4 or 5 hours. And that's in a week. So we need more than that to grow, to know, to learn. The events of life are given to us to shape us and mold us to become like Christ. God will use our lives no matter what you do for a living. It's important. And God can use it to help strengthen your Christian life and for your witness to others to be found in that place. If I go into a room with a crowd of men, say I stop in a garage or something and a bunch of men hanging around, it won't take me but about 2 seconds to figure out some of them might be believers and some of them certainly are not because of their vocabulary. An old preacher of the past, when he got saved, he said he lost 75% of his vocabulary when he got saved. Amen. And it ought to be that way. It should change us. It should make us different. We should demonstrate that we have character in our home, in our work, in the school, and in church. Jesus taught it, it is by our love for one another that men will see that we are the disciples of Christ. So we are to demonstrate that love from a sincere heart toward one another. We should be people of virtue. Peter talks about adding to our virtue these things in 2 Peter chapter 1. Deals with our behavior. Virtue is excellence. Something excellent about us is the Christian life. And we'll say first is today, it's obvious there are no perfect people. There are no perfect homes. There are no perfect churches. That perfection won't happen until we get to heaven and the Lord removes all iniquity from us in that day. But there is progress that can be made in the Christian life for us. And God has given us all we need. In 2 Peter, he said, we have everything we need for life and godliness, to grow in the faith, to be a Christian. God give us not perfection today in our bodies, but he's given us the perfect word of God that we can learn from and grow thereby. All true Christianity begins the same way, by grace of God, through the faith of the believer. From the apostles to today, we all got saved the exact same way. Abraham was a man of faith. He was saved by faith, not by works or sacrifices that they did. It was by faith that they were saved, and it's by faith that people are still saved today. The question is, what is your faith in? It's not to be in yourself, it's to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is salvation. It is in Him. Look at 1 John with me, chapter 5. Just before Revelation, 1 John 5 and verse 9 through 12. 1 John 5, 9 through 12. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So life is in Christ, eternal life. And when you receive Christ as your Savior, you receive eternal life. It's an amazing thing. People struggle with all their wealth and all their ability and all their time trying to live longer. You say, well, preacher, are you ready to die? Yeah. I make sure I'm ready. I'm ready by putting my faith and trust in the Lord. And when I die is up to Him then. And I try to take myself out of that equation. I don't want to do anything to hasten it along, because I don't like pain. All of you that know me know I've had a lot of episodes of pain. And I don't like pain. I don't want to do anything to cause myself to die. But I know I'm ready when I go. Not because I'm good, not because I'm better than anybody else, but because of the mercy of God and the grace of God and what Christ did for us all when He died on Calvary's cross. Because of that, we are saved. Now, you don't have to see Christ to have the same salvation that the apostles have. Look over at 1 Peter chapter 1. I should have brought my new glasses and I didn't. I'm struggling to see these pages. 1 Peter 1 and verse number 8. Let me read verse 7 too. The trial of your faith, being more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So believing on Christ, you don't have to see him in order to receive the same salvation the apostles, the disciples, the early church, the people who went through dread times that have wonderful testimonies, who've written books and theology and all those things, you've got the same salvation that they have. Amen. You have become a part of the family of God. We are saved from sin's penalty. God saved us from a lot of things. Salvation is defined in one point. You know, it has several things that can define it, but one point of salvation's definition is deliverance. Salvation is deliverance. Galatians 1:4 says, we will be delivered from this present evil world through Jesus Christ. We are delivered from the penalty of our sins because Christ died in our place. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Christ our Lord and Savior has granted us the same salvation through faith in Him. And we receive all we need for life and godliness, Peter said, through the Word, through the church, through the fellowship with more mature believers who mentor us and teach us and help us. Receive all we need. Then we are called to show forth, to demonstrate the praises of God for what He's done for us, the change in our life. He deserves the praise, honor, and glory for that. Peter wrote about how precious Christ is, how precious the Word of God is. In 2 Peter 1:1, he said we have this like precious faith, just like the apostles, just like the mature Christians. We have like precious faith with them because we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have precious promises from God. His precious blood was shed for us as much as for any person in the world. He is the precious stone that we build upon. There are precious promises that come from the precious Savior who's precious to us who believe on Him. If you've been saved, He's precious to you for what He's done for you. We're born anew by faith and sharing His divine nature. He has given a part of Himself to each of us. His Spirit dwells within us because we have believed upon Him. And that divine nature grants us life everlasting. What kind of nature do you have? What reveals in your life the nature that you demonstrate? Animals eat different things than humans eat. Pigs will eat almost anything, but you know they don't like watermelon and cucumbers. They leave it floating in the slop and eat everything else around it. They'll dig in the ground and eat worms out of the ground. That's their nature. What is your appetite? Show your nature. Is it for church today, godliness, reading the Word of God, being a Christian in your lifestyle, or is it the desire for sinful things, as is the nature of someone who hasn't yet been saved, the desire for the pleasures of sin? The environment we live in is determined by nature. Fish swim, squirrels climb trees. Where do you live? What is your lifestyle demonstrating? How you live and where you live by your nature. We are associated because of our nature. Animals group together in flocks and herds and all that sort of thing. Pride is what lions, group of lions are called a pride. But we are the sheep of His pasture. We are a flock of God. My job is to feed the flock and to care for you, to try to protect you from evil and harm. Just like an under shepherd, I don't own the flock. The flock belongs to God. But I've got a responsibility to care for the flock for Him, and I'll give an account one day of everything I have done, good and bad. Sheep, gather. And we've gathered here today like a faithful flock to be fed from the Word of God. I grew up, you know, in the country. We had a few cows. We didn't have a big farm, but we had about 20 acres of land and grew our own vegetables and all that sort of thing, you know. But I was around other farmers. I'd rent myself out, you know, in the hay hauling season for $5 a day, 100-degree temperatures. Haul 1,000 bales of hay and put them up in a barn somewhere. I didn't mind hauling them out of the field. I was young. I was strong. I could throw those bales up and high. But then when you got to the barn and got in the barn, all that dust from the hay got me. I have hay fever. My eyes would swell shut. My nose would, I couldn't breathe. I'd go get a water hose and stick it up my nose and try to flush my sinuses out and all that, wash my eyes out. It was a difficulty. bad thing about being sheep is Isaiah 53 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid the iniquity for that on Jesus, who died as a substitute for you and for me. Peter listed the characteristics of a godly life in 2 Peter chapter 1. The virtue, the excellence, is to glorify God. Everything we do, we're to seek to glorify him in what we do. We're to add to that knowledge. And that word for knowledge is a practical knowledge that's learned by experience. So because of that, you have to go through some tough times. All of you who served in the military, you know what it is to go through boot camp. It's a hard training that prepares you to go to war. The Marine Corps, we had 9 weeks at Parris Island of boot camp. Then we were transferred to Camp Lejeune for 8 weeks of infantry training, weapons training, tactical training. Then I was transferred to Camp Pendleton, California, where I went through raider training, and then jungle warfare school, and then to Vietnam. They were training me to be prepared for what we stepped in. When I got into Vietnam and heard bullets flying and bombs going off and all that sort of thing, I said, now I know why we went through all that stuff. To get you ready to be able to carry a heavy pack and go through the jungle for 16, 18 hours in 100 plus temperatures. You had to be physically fit. You had to be trained. You had to know what to do. You even had to learn how to take one of them little bitty shovels that you have on the back of your pack, call it E2, and you had to dig a foxhole with that. Marines call them fighting holes. And we dig a 3x3 or 4x4, and we pull guard duty for 6 hours, 4 hours, switch off with someone and pull guard duty. That was what we were trained to do. That was what we learned how to do. That's what we were prepared for. And everything you go through in life, all the hardships and difficulties and trials and tests and loved ones dying and all that sort of thing, is maturing you as a Christian to be like Christ and to be a better witness for the Lord. Knowledge is what you learn while you're going through life, the experiences of life. Temperance is self-control. I want to read you a verse from Proverbs about that. Proverbs 25 and verse 28. Proverbs 25:28 says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. So a responsibility of the individual to be self-controlled, not to yield to temptation, not to do things disobedient, to be self-controlled, to say no to sinful temptations and yes to the things of God. Paul understood the rules of athletic terms that he wrote about, that one could be disqualified if they did not play according to the rules. When Paul wrote his epitaph in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8, he said, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I finished my course. Paul could say he finished well. God help us all to do that. Patience is basically endurance. If we have the patience of the Christian faith, we will endure as a believer in the things that are right to do. Handling the pleasures of life. Handling the pressures of life. Handling the problems of life. Not giving up, not quitting, enduring, going through those trials and tests. James talked about the sufferings in chapter 1, verse 2 through 8. We learn from them. That's our spiritual boot camp that we're going through in life to become a better Christian, to become a stronger witness, to become one who can stand the test of time for God. Godliness is a result. Godliness is the same thing as the word Christian. It means Christ-like. Godliness is to be like God. It is to have the qualities and the lifestyle of God. We do what's right because it's right to do, because we're a Christian. As a Christian, there's things I can't do. As a Christian, there's things I won't do. But it doesn't have anything to do with me being saved or not. I've been saved by the grace of God and kept by the power of God. Brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness is a type of love. It's a filial love. It's the family love that we have for brothers and sisters. And that love is a testimony of our hearts being real with God because we sacrifice for one another. We love one another. We help one another. And then last of all, charity or love. 1 Corinthians 13, we won't take time to read it. You read it for yourself someday. 1 Corinthians 13, it will tell you what love is. If you got married, probably the preacher read from 1 Corinthians 13 about love, what love is. God help us to have homes that manifest godliness and a church that is a church known by its love that reveals godliness in the ministry we have to people who have needs. Examples of godly homes. Our families are an extension of this church. I bet you where you live, if you got any neighbors you speak to, they know you go to this church. And you say you go to this church, some say, oh, okay. Some say, where's that church at? And some will say, I know where that church is. Had a man just the other day. I know where that church is. Yeah, it's up there on 21. We'd like for him to come visit. He knows where it is. Our families are extensions of this church. Home is the best place for teaching Bible and doctrine and ethics and morals. And we reward our children for doing good and we discipline them for doing evil. And what we do for the glory of God. We must be people of intimacy with God. He's to have the preeminence in everything. That means first place. To be exalted above all else. One day Christ will receive the preeminence he deserves. He has it now in heaven. The angels worship him. He is preeminent in heaven. But one day he's coming back to this earth to be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords and rule and reign in the kingdom. We see in our society a woeful lack of God's influence in people's lives. Many have no fear of doing wrong in the eyes of God. They are not honest and ethical in our political system or in business. There's been exposure recently of judges corrupt, banks defrauding their depositors. Great men and nations are not great by virtue of their wealth, but by the wealth of their virtue. I want to be like Superman. Faith, justice, and the American way. Truth, justice, and the American way. That's what he stood for. The nation used to stand for that. Now it seems to stand for how crooked can you be? Division and corruption are serious problems. Honest communication is vital when we do anything as a Christian. Our Christianity should shine because of our honesty and integrity in what we do. Balance is a key in all of that. Remember Peter? He was a man of influence. After Jesus died, Peter said to the crowd, "I go a fishing." And the people said, "We go with you. We go also." They went fishing, and Jesus in his resurrected body had to appear on the seashore to them to give them a mild rebuke for being disobedient. They were told what they were to do. They were to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But they went fishing instead. Remember, fishing's where they were doing when Jesus came along and called them into the ministry. If you're going to serve God as a Christian, there's things in your life you're going to have to say no to. It may not be sinful. It may just be something that would keep you from serving the Lord as you should serve Him. You and your family are an extension of this church. The Bible is filled with examples of homes and nations that failed God in the past. Let us not falter in being that group. Let us be those that serve the Lord faithfully and have a testimony among men. Father, thank you for the faithfulness of your people being here today. I pray your blessings upon them, that you'd encourage them, strengthen them, help them to know how important their life is, that they are a child of God and have a testimony to share with others of how good the Lord Jesus Christ is in taking our sins upon himself and dying in our place. Lord, help the lost see Christ in us and believe. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.